You know, I noticed that when this began, most people were still talking. You know, God wants us to be attentive. When we start calling on the Holy Spirit, you should immediately be silent. Okay? Otherwise, I'm going to take you outside and... So, I mean, really, you have to be attentive. You will receive what you pray for. If you prayed only the last three lines or last, that's all you're going to get. But if you pray right from the beginning, come Holy Spirit, and know what you're praying, God will answer your prayers in a very powerful way. He will not interfere with your freedom. I will. All right? But He will not let, He won't. So as soon as you hear this, it's time to be silent and time to pray. Okay? I don't ever want to say that again. Okay, so we are, we'll read that last line again. Jesus says, therefore, calm yourself and try to manifest to what you can to obedience. As for the rest, leave everything to my care. So we're going to trust in Jesus as long as we are obedient. Again, obedience, Saint Benedict said, to hear, to listen is to obey. And that's what we want. When the church speaks, it's obedience, immediate obedience. And otherwise, we say to God, you know, I can do what I want. And that's not very pleasing to God. It's to be nothing. It's not my right to say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. It's to live in your nothingness. It's always docile. It's always surrender. It's always submissive. So volume 15, 7, 14, 23. The world is exactly at the same point as it was when I was about to come upon the earth. Everyone was awaiting a great event. Everyone was awaiting a new era, which indeed occurred. So this is where we are now. You look at what's happening in the world, and we have to know that things are changing. Things are changing very quickly. And the reason is a great event is coming. A new era is going to begin. So Jesus says, the same now. Since the great event, the new era in which the will of God may be done on earth as it is in heaven, is coming, everyone is awaiting this new era, tired of the present one, but without knowing what this new thing, this change is about. Just as they did not know it when I came upon the earth. The expectation, this expectation is a sure sign that the hour is near. But the surest sign is that I am manifesting to you, Louisa, through the book of heaven, what I want to do. So the sure sign for us is what Jesus is doing. That in turning to a soul, Louisa, just as I turned to my mama Mary in descending from heaven to earth, now I communicate to her my divine will. I'm communicating to Louisa my divine will and the goods and the effects that it contains to make of them a gift for the whole of humanity. So as he came to the Blessed Mother to bring about redemption, now is the time of sanctification. This is the reason we pray, come Holy Spirit. This is the time of sanctification. We have to be aware. This is not ordinary. We cannot continue to be like everyone else. We have to begin to live a Catholic life in full expectation of what God is going to do. And if we are reading the volumes, Jesus is explaining to us personally what we have to know. He says this very clearly. The sure sign is that what I am manifesting to you, what God is manifesting to Louisa through these 36 volumes. This is why the Lord is asking us to read, to study, put into practice these truths. The devil doesn't want you to do that. The devil wants you to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. The devil wants you to be gossiping. The devil wants you to be doing everything but reading. Our job is really to focus on this gift. You see, Jesus says nobody else wants it. So he's offering it to us. Do you want it? And if we say yes, then we immediately embrace this gift. And it's the pearl of great price. We give up everything for this gift. We give up everything, even holy things, for this gift. See, the saints taught us how to do things in a holy, human, saintly manner. Jesus says now the time is to begin to live everything in a divine manner, to be demonized. This is demonization is what God wants for us. He wants us to share in his divinity. So this is why as Catholics we understand the supernatural life that he wants us to possess. We just received Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of God became our food. Yet none of us were terrified. See, that's the second promise. The first promise is to be freed from the enemy. When Jesus died on the cross, we were freed from the devil. The second promise to Abraham is to be free to worship God without fear. Every one of us was in contemplation, in communion with God, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, asking for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, begging God for this complete transformation of the face of the earth. And now the third promise to Abraham is to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. That means to share in his divinity. That's where we are. We're at that point where, as Jesus said, a new era is coming. A great event is going to come upon the earth. And he's asking us to get ready for it. He's asking us to really beg for this great event to come. So he says very clearly, he says, I am communicating now to Louisa my divine will and the goods and the effects that the divine will contains to make of them a gift for the whole of humanity. See, it's a whole new beginning that's coming. Volume 17, February 22nd, 1925. Compassionate and loving man with infinite love, my holy humanity, by doing the will of the Father in everything except these channels, whole and impetrated the removal of the bars and the destruction of the gates which the human will had formed. So when Adam sinned, he put us in prison. That's why we were freed from the enemy when Jesus died on the cross. And now we're free to worship God without fear. And now we're going to be holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. This is the prayer we pray every morning in the Canticle of Zechariah. And so it opened the channels again for whoever wants to come into my divine will. Whoever wants to come. It's not your family. It's not your friends. It's not your neighbors. It's not your coworkers. It's not your parishioners. It's you. Or there's nobody. So he says, I want to, it is basically, I want to give back to the soul the divine rights that we gave to Adam for whoever wants to come into my divine will. So again, be attentive to what you're doing. Why are you doing what you're doing? Is it calling the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven with Louisa? Paths are necessary in order to facilitate the journey. They are the means in order for man to be able to make very often a little visit to his own celestial fatherland. So now, again, this is not a pious thought. If you want to visit heaven, you can in the divine will. The bilocation, Jesus tells Louisa, is part of the divine will. And it's not that you're here and having a pizza down the street, and not that kind of bilocation. But to go to heaven, to go to Jerusalem, to be with Jesus, to be at Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee, to be at Nazareth when Jesus is growing up, to be with Jesus. It says very clearly, the paths are necessary in order to facilitate the journey. They are the means in order for man to be able to make very often, if he wants, a little visit to his own celestial fatherland. And knowing how beautiful his fatherland is and how happy the one who can live in it, and to love it, to yearn to take possession of it. Therefore, to live detached from the exile of down here. So this is the pearl of great price. Jesus is asking us, pleading with us. I forgot to put on my stole. Jesus is asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live heaven on earth. That's what Our Lady says to Louisa. I'm going to teach you a way of heaven and no longer a way of earth. So this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus and Mary are teaching us how to live heaven on earth. So when everything starts to fall apart, and it's going to fall apart, I mean, you cannot kill 60 million babies and not be punished. This is impossible. I mean, Hitler killed 60 million people. Stalin killed 60 million people. Mao killed 60 million people. We, the United States, have killed 60 million babies. Yeah, it's, we cannot stand. We're going to be punished. You have to understand, this is, you know, you just don't live the misery of here on earth and not be punished. The chastisements are going to come. You can't print, you know, $1 trillion and think it's going, you know, on nothing. You know, there was an article last week, 90 nations are bankrupt, 90 nations. And the United States is number 18. And we're printing more money than anybody. So what is coming? You know, it cannot sustain itself. So Jesus says very clearly, if you know how beautiful heaven is, if you know how happy one can live in heaven while on earth, to love it heaven while on earth, to yearn for heaven while on earth, to possess heaven while on earth, therefore you will learn to live detached from the exile of being here. We are called by God to live heaven. That God said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It means to live the divine life. And that means, you know, free of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, free of sin. To be focused on this gift, this huge outpouring of the Holy Spirit that God is ready to bestow upon mankind. These channels in this creature, Louisa, are necessary. So Louisa has all these channels. So that very often Louisa may rise to her true fatherland, Louisa may know it and love it, and if the soul loves her celestial fatherland, if placing herself on the way within our divine will, she makes her little visits. This is a sign that the soul is walking along these paths. So, are you linking yourself with Louisa so that you can go to heaven? Are you linking yourself with Louisa so you pray the rounds of creation, rounds of redemption? If you are, Jesus says, this is a sign that you're walking along the paths of heaven and no longer the paths of earth. That's why he says when the chastisement comes, the large majority of humanity will be gone. He says the survivors will be living in the divine will, which means they were living in it before it hits. I mean, it's going like into the Ark of the Covenant. Noah went into the boat and he didn't get wet. We are in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We are in the Sacred Heart of Jesus through Louisa, and there's no problem. It's going to be ecstasy. And there's nothing to worry about, nothing to be fearful of, nothing to be anxious about. We trust, not only trust in Jesus, but we believe in Him, hope in Him, have confidence in Him. This is also a sign for you. Don't you remember how many times you took the way of heaven and penetrated into the celestial regions? And as to make your little visit, soon my divine will made you descend into the exile of earth. And since you love the fatherland, the exile of earth seem ugly and almost unbearable for you. See, that's what's happening. We're not going to entertain ourselves on Sunday. We're not going to focus on sports on Sunday. This is going to be unbearable for us. Why? Because you're going to be so in love with Jesus that you want to have His day reign. See, this is what's coming. God is teaching us. He's showing us the love of heaven and no longer the love of earth. This love for heaven, this love for the fatherland that embitters you, felt the living in exile, as in living in exile, was a good sign for you, and that the fatherland is yours. So again, if you want to keep holy the Sabbath, this Lenten season, you want to draw closer to Jesus crucified through the 24 hours of the Passion, this is a good sign. Okay? Again, your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Nobody wants this. So Jesus is saying, if you're linking yourself with Louisa and reading the hours of the Passion, reading the rounds of creation and redemption, especially for Lent, it's very, very powerful. Jesus says this is a great sign. You've embraced the sign of Louisa, and you understand it's Louisa and the Book of Heaven. See, it happens this way also with the low things of this world. If one has a large possession, he forms a path in order to go visit it very often, to enjoy it, and to take the goods which are in it. And while visiting it, he loves it, and he keeps it in his heart. On the other hand, if he does not form a path, he never visits his possession, because without a path it is almost impenetrable. Nor does he think of it, or even speak of it. This is a sign that he does not love it, and that he despises his own goods. Even though he could be rich because of his bad will, he is poor, the one who lives in the most squalid misery. And so here is my wisdom in creating Adam. I, God, wanted to form the paths between me and Adam to make sanctity easier for Adam, as well as the communication of our divine goods, and Adam's entrance into the celestial fatherland. So he made Adam to live in heaven. That's what paradise is. We have lost heaven, and now we are, God is calling us back to heaven. Okay, so you have to understand that in heaven it is eternity. When Adam left heaven, he was now trapped in time and space, where our body becomes old, great, we become gray-haired, wrinkled, and then we die. I said that down in Atlanta. And this little girl said, "Like you?" And I said, "Yeah, just like me." It's just, you hit it right on the head. We're called not to be old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. We are called to be eternally young. And that's what I said to her. I said, "I'm supposed to be eternally young as you, just like you." And she looked at me with disgust. This little thing. Because, see, that's what's coming. We're going to live in eternity. See, that's why our Lord said very clearly, "I will be with you to the end of time." And everybody says, "Well, that's a billion years from now." No. Our Lady says very clearly, you must change now before there is no time to change. You have to begin to change now. If when time comes to an end, there will be no time to change. And that's where you are for eternity. You have to change now. You have to get rid of your human inadequacies. You have to get rid of any type of sin in you. What is sin in the divine will? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. That's sin, plus sin. We are called by Jesus to begin to live a life of heaven, eternity, no longer a life of earth. That's why Jesus says in Volume 24 that the divine will is going to happen as if by magic. All of a sudden, the kingdom will be here, and everyone will say, "How did it happen?" And Jesus will say, "It happened because of Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa." That's our job, to work with Louisa so that the kingdom can be on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 17, 4, 26, 25. Jesus says, "Furthermore, no, it is not true that I have left you. How is it? Don't you feel me within yourself? Don't you hear the echo of my prayer in your interior? As I embrace everything and everyone in such a way that no one can escape me, since all things and all generations are like one single point for me, so I pray, I love, I adore my Father, I repair for all." So here, this is what Jesus wants for you as well. He wants us to hear the echo of his prayer in our interior. Okay? So this is why God is asking you to be attentive. Let the Lord begin to pray in you. Let the Lord begin to fill you with everything. See, we have to be able to hear Jesus. See, our senses are made for God. And when Adam fell, our senses are on this earth. And basically, we fall in love with the things of the earth. Chocolate, and our mouth starts to water. We love that. We want our taste, you know, to taste the chocolate. We're in love with the human. Jesus is saying to us, begin to hear me. Begin to see me. Begin to smell me. Begin to taste me. Begin to touch me. See, Jesus is, he's going to bring about a renewal of the face of the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit, and our senses are going to be experiencing God. Now, that's in the last volume, volume 36, Jesus explains that very clearly. Our senses are made for God. So what happens with our human senses, when we're limited to the things of the earth, we could end up in hell through our human senses. We have to begin to see Jesus, hear Jesus, smell Jesus, taste Jesus, touch Jesus. Now, as Catholics, we can do two of those things. We can taste Jesus and we can touch Jesus. We touch him with our tongue. We taste him. Yet we are going to see Jesus. We are going to hear Jesus. And either it happens soon or at the moment of our death. But we're going to see Jesus Christ. And he's going to tell us about our life, how we've lived, how we affected the souls around us. You know, so it's Jesus is saying very clearly, he says, no one escapes me. All things, all generations are like one single point for me. So I pray, I love, I adore for the Father, and I repair for everyone. And you, are you echoing my prayer? Feel as if you were holding everyone and everything in your power. Do we pray that? I adore you in the name of everyone and everything. So that when we pray, Jesus hears everyone speaking with our voice. I love you, I adore you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. Are we letting God, are we praying to God the way he wants us to pray in the name of everyone, past, present, and future? No questions, please. It is perhaps you or your capacity to do this. No. It is I who am doing this within you. It is my divine will that makes you take everyone and everything in your power and follows its course within your soul. And then, do you want anything apart from my divine will? So here Jesus is saying, if you're living in the divine will, if you're obeying what he taught Louisa, he says, it is Jesus that is doing this in us. He says, it's not in your power. It's Jesus that is doing this. So he says, do you want to do anything apart from me? No. Why do you fear then that I may leave you? Don't you know that the surest sign that I reside within you is that my holy divine will has taken its place of honor in you? So are we focused on this gift to such a degree that we're adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, and blessing him, and worshiping him as we wash the dishes, as you shovel the sidewalk, as you sweep the floor? He says, the sure sign that my divine will reigns in you is that the divine will has taken its place of honor in you. Whatever you are doing, whether you're eating, whether you're swimming, whether you're dancing, it's done in the divine will. He says that is a sure sign that the divine will has taken its place of honor in you, that it dominates you, that it does with you whatever it wants. My divine will and I are inseparable, and it renders the inseparable from me whoever lets himself be dominated by the divine will. So our job is to let the divine will reign in us. So when you combed your hair this morning, when you brushed your teeth this morning, did you do it in the divine will? If you didn't, then it's not dominating you. It hasn't taken its place to reside in you. See, it's to be attentive to what you're doing. That's why I'm saying, when you hear the music, it's immediately, come Holy Spirit. What I'm saying to another person doesn't mean anything. Now that's, the saints taught us this. St. Teresa says, if you see Jesus Christ, it's the most beautiful apparition of Jesus that you've ever seen in your life, and the bell rings for prayer, you immediately go to prayer. Why? Because he says, you don't know if that is really Jesus or the devil. You have no idea. So with us, it's the same thing. You know, we are here, yes, to share with one another, fellowship. But also, when to pray, it means immediately. It's a discipline. I will immediately begin to pray to the Holy Spirit. Come, what I have to say is meaningless. But what the Holy Spirit is everything. Come, Holy Spirit. See, Jesus wants to see, is the divine will dominating in you? Is the divine will reigning in you, like it does with Louisa? Vine 18, 12, 25, 25. Would you not condemn a man who taken by a childless affection for a child, only to have him around a little bit to amuse himself with him, would give him a banknote worth $1,000. And the little boy, not knowing the value of the banknote, tears it into 1,000 pieces and after a few minutes. But on the other hand, first he makes the child desire the note, and then he makes him know its value, then the good which the banknote of the 1,000 can do for him, then he gives it to him. The child will not tear it to pieces, but will go and put under a rock and key, appreciating the gift and loving the giver more. You would praise that man who had the ability to make known to a little child the value of money. If a man does so, much more do I, God, who give my gifts with wisdom and justice and with true love. Here is therefore the necessity of the dispositions, of the knowledges of the gift, of the esteem and appreciation, of the love for the gift itself. Therefore, the knowledge of the divine will is like the herald of the great gift of my divine will, which I, God, want to give to you, Louisa, and to those linked to Louisa. Knowledge prepares the way. Knowledge is like the contract that I want to make of the gift that I, God, want to give. And the more knowledge that I send to the soul, the more the soul is spurred on to desire the gift and to solicit the divine writer to place the final signature that the gift is hers and that she possesses it. So the more that you read, the more God expands your capacity. Somebody just said to me, well, I finally finished 36 volumes. My response was, read it again, because God's going to expand your capacity. God wants to fill you as full as he possibly can fill you. You know, it's to read it, to reread it, to put it into practice. And this is why we have the Echo book, why we have the calendar, why we have most especially the Rounds book. As you read these, as it becomes your life, as you become to live this, again, it's heaven on earth. The things that God is going to show you, the supernatural things that God is going to show you, is going to astonish you. You won't even have to say anything. God does it. He knows what you want even before you ask it. For the saints, he says, pray for it. For us, he's given it to us. Why? Because we're doing what Jesus has done, what Mary has done, what they have given to Louisa Picaretta. Again, this is astonishing. The saints have taught us how to pray, and we pray the prayers very powerfully, you know, the prayers of St. Teresa, the prayers of St. Ignatius. Yet what Jesus is going to bring about is a new beginning for mankind. A new beginning that's going to just astonish you. So, the sign that in these times I, God, want to give this gift of my divine will is the knowledge of it. How much do you know? Like I've said before, what do you know in Volume 7 that you love? That you can repeat right now that Jesus told Louisa. What do you know in Volume 28 that you love that you can just say right now about it? See, you have to learn this. You know, you have to learn this. It's so you can go, we know very simply, Volume 1 through Volume 10 is how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, how to become a saint. Volume 11 through Volume 19 is how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Volume 20 through Volume 36 is how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, to begin to live heaven on earth in a way that the saints who are now living in heaven can look and see us living in the same condition. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. Now, no one has possessed this yet. But this is what God wants for us. Who is reading and studying and making this their everything? Volume 19, 5, 3, 26. The Supreme Majesty, Supreme Majesty, I come in the name of everyone, past, present, and future, from the first man, Adam, to the last man which will exist on earth. Why? To give you, Triune God, all the homages, all the adorations, all the praises, all the love that every soul owes you, and to make all reparations for each, for every, and for each sin. So again, when you see something on TV that might be horrendous, you say to the Lord, I'm sorry for this and for all sins, past, present, and future. Lord, it's not just your sins, but for every sin. When people go to confession to me and they say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, and they name the sins, I at the same time, I say, and for this and for everyone, past, present, and future, for this sin and for that sin, for every human that ever committed these sins, past, present, and future, Lord, forgive us. Lord, have mercy on us. See, it's as she says here, I come in the name of everyone. See, the church already teaches us this. When you sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in exposition, you represent all mankind. Not just your family, but everyone. So you can say to Jesus, I kneel here in the name of every person as if every person was kneeling before you, Lord. And I say from my heart and from their hearts, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You know, sanctify us. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Again, the whole world is changing as you do this. The world cannot be the same. And the reason there's all the wars and rumors of wars and all the horrible things that are going on is the devil sees this light. He knows his kingdom is coming to an end. And he is terrified. He's going to hell forever. He knows it. So he wants to bring as many people as he possibly can to hell. Our job is to plead mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Not only for me and for my family, but for everyone. And to say to the Lord, I'm sorry for every sin that was ever committed. So when you look at the things in the news, don't be overwhelmed, but say, thank you, Jesus, for showing this to me, number one. Number two, I'm sorry that it's happened to you, Lord. And number three, I want to repair this. I want to redo this as if it never occurred. That everyone lived one with you, Jesus, never to offend you. And now while I was saying this, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, see, that Jesus is always in the interior of Louisa. We have to understand this. My daughter, Louisa, this way of praying is only of my divine will, because it alone can say, I come in the name of everyone before the Supreme Majesty. In fact, with its all-seeingness and immensity, it sees everything and embraces everyone, so it can say, not as a manner of speaking, but in reality, I come in the name of every soul to do for you, Lord, all the creatures owe you. See, this isn't just pious thoughts. It's not just pious words. It is a reality. Either you believe what Jesus is saying to Louisa, or you don't. Either you really believe that this is of God or it's not. I mean, if this is true, God has really got an awful lot for us to do. And we've got to get rid of all our interruptions, if you want to say. All the things that we are doing, humanly speaking, to focus on the divine. This is why he called Louisa. This is why he put Louisa in bed. Louisa, you're to do nothing but to focus on this. Now, for us, you know, he hasn't done that with us because we've got things to do. But if we link ourselves to Louisa, then we can do what Louisa does, what Jesus is telling her. I come in the name of everyone, past, present, and future, to do for you, Lord God, all that the creatures owe you. Because you are holy. You are great. You are all love. You are magnificent. You deserve to be adored and loved and praised and thanked and blessed and worshipped. See, our job is to be in communion with God. Not just the communion that we receive at Holy Mass for 15 minutes until the host dissolves, but to be in communion with God, a perennial communion with God, as Adam was. Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. He loved God so much that he walked and talked with God. See, that this is what is going to change your life. This is why your life will be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Because you're never alone. You see, a lot of people say to me, well, my spouse died and, you know, I'm all alone. No, you're not. Jesus has said to your spouse, come up with me or whatever. And now Jesus has says, I have a jealousy for you. I want to be alone with you. I want you to be alone with me. And that, at that point, you're filled with the presence of God. You're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. You are beginning to have that perennial communion with God where you walk and talk with Him. No human will can say, in reality, I come in the name of everyone. But this is the true sign that my divine will reigns in you. So here, again, this is what God did with Louisa, and now He's doing with us. Is that this is the true sign. I pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Volume 19, 6, 20, 26. My daughter, my celestial mother Mary, was able to give me to others because she conceived me within herself. Mary raised me and nourished me. No one can give something that they do not have. If Our Lady gave me to other creatures, it was because Our Lady possessed me. Now, I would never have told you so much about my divine will had I not wanted to form its kingdom in you, Louisa. So where is the kingdom of God? It's within Louisa. This is why our God wants us to be linked to her. Talk to her, pray to her, go to her. She's very, very important. And like St. Padre Pio said, the world and the church is going to focus on Louisa Picaretta in the third millennium. The world and the church is going to focus on Louisa Picaretta. You get a high-powered rifle with a high-powered telescope, and you look 1,000 yards down, and you're focused on one thing, even though everything else is around you. That's what's going to happen with Louisa. With all that's going around us, we are going to focus on Louisa. Why? Because she is the one where the kingdom of God reigns. And our God wants us to be linked to her. So He says, in you, Louisa, nor would you have loved the divine will so much had it been not yours. And so that's what happens with us. As we fall in love with the divine will, Jesus is saying, if I see Louisa in you, you will also possess this gift. If Louisa is your little mama, and you have an unsevered umbilical cord to the womb of Louisa, then you also will receive this gift. It's never to be separated from Louisa, Jesus says. The things that are not one's own are kept reluctantly because bother and wait. Had you not had the springing fount of the kingdom of my divine will within you, you would not have been able to repeat what I have told you, nor put it on paper. So again, He wants us to repeat what He has told Louisa that we're reading in the Book of Heaven. He wants us to know this, to repeat it. Lacking the possession, you would have lacked the light and the love to manifest it. So the same thing. If we lack the possession of the Book of Heaven, what's there, we would lack the light and the love to manifest it. Who are we to manifest this to? It's back to God. It's to prove to God that we love this more than anything on earth. This, Jesus says, is the sure sign. So, if the sun shines on you, and with its rays it feeds you with the words, the knowledges, how it wants to reign, it is a sign that you possess it. Therefore, your task is to make it known. Who are we to make it known to? Ourselves. Nobody wants to hear about this. Nobody wants to hear about this. It's to ourselves. As a matter of fact, the people that I know who are forcing people to read it, they're very obnoxious. I'll say to someone, do you want to know about the divine will? They say no. I say, fine. I don't try to convince them. I don't try to convert them. You know, if I see somebody that says, fiat, yes, what is this about? Then I know that they will embrace it. But if I see any, well, I'm not sure. Well, I've got things to do. I say, it's not for you. I remember this one person gave me a really hard time. And I finally said to this person, it's not for everybody. It's only for those who want it. And they got furious. How dare you say I can't have this? I said, I'm not saying that. You don't want it. You know, it's for those that can give their fiat. So this is a sign that you possess it. Therefore, your task is to make it known. To whom? To ourselves. We have to know this. It's not to know about it, but the knowledge is to be intimate with Jesus and Mary. To have an intimacy as Adam knew Eve. It is not something just to, well, I know about, you know, Jesus was born at this time and Jesus. No, it's to enter into God. It's to begin to live the life of God. So he says, just as the task of Mary, the sovereign queen, was to make me known and to give me for the salvation of all. She knew Jesus intimately. And that's what we're glad. He says, that's the same thing that's going to happen to us with this great gift of the divine will. Okay, my daughter Louisa, you deceive yourself in saying, this is volume 19, 8:126. You deceive yourself in saying that I no longer love you as before. On the contrary, you must know. Now, this is very important. This is a truth, and if you want the document on you must know, you'll be astonished. What God is calling us to know, it's a whole book on this. That my kisses, my caresses, the shows of love I gave you were the outpourings of my love. Now, this is not romantic kisses, romantic caresses, and shows of love. It's a father loving his little daughter. You have to understand this. This is God. And then when Louisa kisses Jesus, it's the mother kissing the baby. This is how God is. He wants to hold us in his arms, and then he wants to be held in our arms. That's why for Christmas, everyone should have a baby Jesus. You know, as the Pope would carry the baby Jesus in the Vatican and kiss it, you know, it's not just a thing to do. Jesus says, I will accept your kisses to this doll, basically, as if you're actually kissing me. And it's the same thing for the crucifix. When you venerate the cross, Jesus says, I will accept your kiss as if you're actually kissing me. I mean, it's not a pious thought. It's a reality that happens. So he says, you must know that my kisses, my caresses, the shows of love I gave you were the outpourings of my divine love. Unable to contain it in my interior, I, God, showed it to you with many loving signs. And since between you and me there isn't a great work to do, I amused myself with you with many signs and stratagems of love. See, it's not to build a temple, not to build a church, not to build. This is that he's talking about. Not a great work. He says, but I want to be one with you. I want to be intimate with you. I want to amuse myself with you with many signs and stratagems of love. But this served to prepare you for the great work, again, that was to be carried out between you and me. When one works, there is no time to amuse oneself. However, in spite of this, love does not cease, but increases 100 times, strengthened and sealed. So that's what Jesus has done with Louisa. First, he took care of her as this little teeny girl, this little newborn. And now the great work that he has given her to do is to have the kingdom of God be manifested in her and now in us on earth as it is in heaven. So let end there, and in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sorry about no questions.